Alabama syndicated news talk leader. This is Right Side Radio. Ernie Yarbrough filling in one more time for Phil Williams, live from the Right Side studio. Local, state, national, all the issues, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We got a great day of content ahead for you. We've got several state reps calling in. We've got Brian Dawson calling in with 1819 News. It's going to be a jam-packed, fun day. Good stuff. Exciting day. Tonight is the historic debate. Finally, at last, it's like Rocky Balboa 2.0, Donald Trump and Joe Biden going at it. It's guaranteed to be epic. We don't know if it'll be free of onstage bowel movements, but it could definitely be interesting.
Is it going to be on Netflix?
It might be worthy of Netflix by the time they get done. So we will see, but definitely exciting, and the nation and the world is going to be for sure watching. So today we've got back to the same format, an opening monologue, because you don't change greatness, which is going to be called Beyond the Next 4 Years. All right, and then our triple dipper today is Farmland in Trouble, Bioethics, IVF, and Legacy of Planned Parenthood. And number three is corporate versus grassroots sponsored journalism. So let's go ahead and hop right into the opening monologue, Beyond the Next 4 Years. All right. So tonight, obviously, is a highly anticipated and much awaited beginning to what seems like to many of us an official kickoff to the presidential race for the United States of America. In many ways, it is the official opening act of a much-anticipated rematch between Joe Biden and Donald Trump that played out in historic and monumental ways 4 years ago. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we'll never forget that. The results in our country have been, after that election, no less historic and monumental, but historically and monumentally bad. So much has changed since that election. Admissions of gain-of-function research, videos of ballot drop boxes being stuffed, a disastrous open border, great financial upheaval, and a crusade of immorality and spiritual evil that we have known has been there all along, but now it feels emboldened by the wickedness of our current administration to openly parade folly as wisdom, darkness as light, and confusion as common sense. Well, tonight feels like more than just like any old presidential debate, as important as they always are, right? It feels like the beginning of a modern day approach to a Rubicon that we as a nation have to cross one way or the other. Remember, of course, in Roman history, crossing of the Rubicon River was the point of no return. Well, the folly, dementia, uncontrolled bowels, blank stares, and elder abuse of Joe Biden need no introduction to this audience. And thanks to Elon Musk taking over Twitter, a move that we may have more to be grateful for than we could ever realize, what is now X has and will continue to serve as a powerful medium of communication for the free exchange, we hope and trust, of ideas, happenings, and God willing, a place where a meaningful level of transparency can serve as the stage on which competing ideas and spiritual worldviews can honestly combat each other, right? We're not looking for, if we're true and honest to conversation, truth, the battle for truth versus falsehood, right versus wrong. We're not looking to shut out one side. We just want a fair and honest playing in battlefield where truth can have an honest and fair chance. Evil, of course, loves darkness and deceit, and so that battle will always be like trying to wrestle a greased pig. If you ever try to grab a greased pig, it's hard. It's not easy. It's very difficult. But at least it appears we have a place where international eyes look, that we can, with enough wrestling, drag the pig into the open, and the emperor can be seen at least to have no clothes. Now, the debate stage this evening will probably not be so fair, balanced, transparent, and impartial, but that's okay. That battle has to be fought. As truly important as this debate and this presidential race is to the future of our country, it is in this moment that we need as a people to carefully sit back and honestly deliberate the reality of not the next 4 years, but rather the next 40 and the next 100 years. There's a story about a young man and an older pastor that helps illustrate this point. So there was once this young guy, right? He's fired up, full of passion, life, and purpose. He comes to his pastor full of zeal and energy for his plans to go to school, become an excellent professional in his chosen field, earn a great living, all honorable and great things. So the pastor wisely engaged the young man because he had seen the young man be so consumed with this that he had let his spiritual duties go slack. And so So the older pastor says to the young man, and once you finish school, what then shall you do? Why, I shall seek out a place of apprenticeship where I can master my trade. And then what? Why, I shall open my own practice. And then what? The question continued. I shall become established and famous and make lots of money. And then what? Why, I shall find a wife and start a family. And then what? I shall see my children raised and settled in their own business. And then what? There was at last a longer pause before the young man answered, I shall enjoy a strong practice and bounce my grandchildren upon my knees. And then what? A yet longer pause. I shall grow old with my wife. And then what? At long last, with downcast eyes and a troubled look, the stuttered reply was, I shall die. At which point the young man stood up, walked briskly out of the room, and ere long left all to become a preacher of the word and lead many to Christ. Now, the point of this is certainly not to imply, right, that a calling in business is somehow less worthy and holy than a calling in the gospel ministry. Of course not. God has made us and called us to create. If you haven't read Jordan Rayner's book, Called to Create, that defends the call of business and creating in the goods and services world as equally holy and just as important as pastors and all and missionaries, you need to read that. It's a great book, Called to Create. Right, God put Adam in the garden and gave him the dominion mandate, something we would do well to understand and return to. The point is, we often are so caught up in the moment, as important as that moment is, that we forget to think long term. If Donald Trump wins the election, at most that will be another 4 years. Donald Trump is certainly not a perfect man, though he is head and shoulders above his competition and is by far the better choice. The point is, the question remains, then what? And this is why it is imperative that we return to a long-term strategy of making legislation, living life, and making personal and public decisions based on a 40-year, or even better, 100-year plan. We need to think long-term. We need to move away from a mental model of strip malls and return to a mental model of cathedrals. This means we have to turn away from top-down focus to more of a grassroots understanding and a grassroots under God walking out of personal responsibility and taking the foundational principles in our Bible and governing documents to build solutions that will last. An example, perhaps, welfare. Well, the Old Testament, gleaning. What happened? Boaz, the story, right? The farmers would leave the produce around the edge of the field. And if you were poor and in need, you had to go get it. It was there, but you had to go work, right? Combine that with Ephesians 4, where it says that if any man stole, let him steal no more, right? But rather let him work with his hands that he might have to give to those in need. How do you know if you've cured a thief? Well, he quits stealing, he gets to work, and he gives to those in need. There's all kinds of examples of social policy, welfare policy, family policy, that with enough iron sharpening iron discussion, the principles are there. Our Western heritage explains and has explored much of this, right? So it's not that really that Christianity has been tried and to be found untrue. Rather, as G.K. Chesterton once famously quipped, it's more like that it's been found to be hard and left untried. Obviously, this means we have to go to work at the grassroots level of the family. Now, we have to fight the current political battles, of course, right? We have to be engaged in the moment-by-moment realities because that's, after all, part of being a faithful steward, right? But the generational, the grassroots, the level of the family, the emphasizing to our young people, hey, get married, start a family, love your wife, love your husband, walk in a godly way, have children, raise them in the fear of God, right? Teach them how to work, show them love. This is slow, deep work. Right, we were just laughing, talking about kids and the shenanigans that go on with kids that are still in diapers, and then all of a sudden they're not in a diaper and they run around the house, and all the names that are called, and it's the messy work of parenting. You know, it's a mess, but it's a glorious mess because it's the stuff of the future, right? And it's how you learn to be a farmer. If you're a parent, you're a farmer. You are engaged in the organic process of raising little people. And that takes time. It's a slow, deep work that takes a cathedral commitment, not a strip mall like churchy programs that function as a way to self-congratulate for doing nothing of a meaningful and lasting permanence. Example, Haiti, Port-au-Prince, earthquake. Church says, hey, let's send them 300,000 eggs. Well, problem there is that they didn't know there was a local farmer in Haiti who had started an egg business after the earthquake. So they dump all these free eggs. A guy just got to a successful level of business, flood the market with free eggs. Hey, we've done a great job. They leave. He's out of business. Had to sell this place because the church instead should have said, you know what? Let's go find local Haitians and help them start a business. Right? Let's have a long-term cathedral commitment to helping Haitians make Haiti great and free and prosperous. Instead of, hey, let's dump this on them like a government welfare program and hit the evacuation button and then have a supper back at the church and tell people what we did. It takes a whole different mindset. It takes a whole different level of commitment. We're not looking for a strip mall commitment, folks. It's cathedral slow. It's cathedral taking time to pour in and do the hard work. Because after all, when we have that commitment to the slow, deep work, right? We can engage in the moment, but we can build for the future and for the day that we won't see, because that's the day that our children and our grandchildren will see. And that, friends, is a wrap for the monologue, and that is the Right Side Way. Spanning